Good morning. Welcome. This is Crosslink Radio, and where we're talking about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, which is what I am. My name is Shirley Gutkowski. I'm a clinical dental hygienist, and I am in the prevention mode, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today, we have a very special guest, who is going to talk with us about a spice called curcumin. And curcumin comes from the turmeric root, which is one of the problems that I had when I was looking for an expert. I was looking for an expert in turmeric, and really what I was supposed to be looking for was an expert in curcumin. So what curcumin is that kind of a yellowy-orange spice, and it has been shown in number of studies to be very effective in reducing biofilm and also helps in reducing inflammation in the body. So that's why I really wanted to learn about how that works. So I have with me today Dr. Bharat Agarwal, and he's down at the MD Anderson Cancer Hospital down in Houston. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So I'm very well. I'm very excited to be talking with you, especially because when we talked the other day, I had no idea how fancy you were and how you've been at the forefront of all of this curcumin research since the super early days. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, you know, I'm, as you already mentioned, Dr. Agarwal from MD Anderson Cancer Center, and I've been working on cancer for almost now 35 years. And I graduated from University of California, Berkeley. Then I was at UCSF, and then I was a startup biotech company called Genentech, and where I happened to discover an anti-cancer molecule, and that's what brought me to MD Anderson Cancer Center, and which is the biggest cancer center in the world. And apparently, it turned out the molecule that we had discovered as anti-cancer agent is a primary mediator of inflammation. And inflammation plays a very important role in cancer. So we discovered we were looking for anti-inflammatory agents that could down-modulate inflammation and therefore prevent cancer and even treat cancer. So it is in that context that we discovered curcumin as an anti-inflammatory agent, and we were the first one to show that how curcumin works as an anti-inflammatory agent and how it has a potential for cancer and wide variety of other diseases. So that's a long
one
answer
the,
to your
question. No, that's exactly the right amount of time. So one of the things I was curious about is, you know, when I'm pretty well into this whole xylitol research thing, and that thing has been captivating me since probably 1998. And we are very close to, well, other countries are calling xylitol a medicine. And they're putting it into a medical context in their papers and in their own research and when they're recommending it to patients. So are we that close with curcumin? Can we call it a medicine?
Well, it depends. What is your concept of medicine? Remember, it was anybody who goes to medical school these days, or even olden days, they have to take an oath. And that oath is called Hippocrates' Oath. And Hippocrates was a Greek physician who was the one who made the statement, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. So if you talk in that context, yes, curcumin is a medicine, and it has been around for thousands of years. And so, but on the other hand, there was a gentleman who was Paul Ehrlich, about 100 years ago, he came up with the idea of magic bullets.
Oh.
And magic bullets, what he meant was using chemicals as medicine. So if you talk in that context, that chemical as medicine, certainly curcumin qualify both as a chemical as medicine as well as a food as medicine, because it comes from the food and it is a chemical.
So it's well rounded.
Yeah.
It can go.
It covers both ways. It keeps Hippocrates happy, because he is the one who said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And it keeps Paul Ehrlich happy, because he came up with the idea of a magic bullet for treatment of different diseases.
Well, okay. Well, that's terrific. So I'm going to exploit that as any chance I get. All right. So how does it work exactly? So it comes from this rhizome, the root part of this turmeric plant. And then do you have to, like, do stuff to get it out of the turmeric, or are they interchangeable terms? And then let's kind of talk about how it works in the body from there.
Yeah. Remember, you know, Vasco da Gama and Christopher Columbus. These were the two guys who were looking for India and who were looking for spices. And the reason they were looking for spices, that spices to preserve the meat. In sailors, when they sail, you know, they carry meat with them. And if it is not preserved properly, it can go bad.
Right.
So they were looking for spices as a preservative for that meat. And so point of the matter is that even those guys knew that these spices, such as turmeric, is good for something. So,
mm-hmm.
so the history of the spices go way, 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 way back, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, that there are 50 different spices. And we have done a whole book called Healing Spices. And among those 50 different spices, turmeric is one of those 50 spices. And this turmeric is a yellow in color, and it is the rhizome of a plant called Curcuma longa. The word curcuma itself is a Persian word which means saffron. So curcuma longa, saffron.
Yeah.
That is another spice. So curcuma longa is regarded as an Indian saffron, okay? Because India is, it is the most popular in India, you know. I mean, British, you know, they had a problem with spices. They loved the spices, and that's part of the reason they came to India. But they could not remember the names of all of those. So what they did, they put all the spices, about a dozen of them, together and call it a curry powder. Okay? So curry powder is actually a concoction of, a dozen different spices. And what is the yellow color in curry powder is curcumin. And that is coming from the root Curcuma longa. And so you simply go to a grocery store and you buy this root. Actually, as I said, it is a rhizome. It is not really, truly speaking, a root. It is a rhizome, and you buy it, and you can by the way, Curcuma longa belongs to the ginger family. So just like you use a ginger, you know, you can peel it and then slice it and then use it as such. And or you can grind it and then use it. You know. So there are so many different ways to go about it, which depends upon the culture that who or the person who you are talking to, that once you have take the root, what you do with it, how you proceed. So any way you take it doesn't matter. as long as it gets in the body.
Right, okay. So even if you go to the store and buy it in capsules, you're going to get similar benefits than if you just cut off a piece of the root and have it for lunch.
Absolutely. So, and I'm of the opinion it is better to be as holistic as possible.
Yes.
Because if you are holistic, then you are not missing out some of the other things. For example, turmeric, which you said originally what you had in mind that you want to talk to me about, and this whole thing switched to curcumin. Turmeric has over 100 different natural compounds, over 100. And out of those 100, curcumin is the only one which gives a yellow color we know the most about. And that's why we're talking about curcumin. Does not mean other 99 are not active. They are also active, maybe even more active, but there is not much science to talk about. So that is the difference.
Okay.
So
that was very helpful. Thank you for that. And it really does go towards this new trend of the micronutrients and how nutrients interact with one another when they are together in the whole plant. So thank you for explaining that a little bit.
So I think that it is better to be as holistic as possible, and it is very cheaper. I mean, it is cheaper to buy a root of the curcuma longa or to buy turmeric as compared to buying curcumin, because more processing you do, more expensive it gets.
Okay.
So it is better to be as holistic as possible.
Excellent.
Next.
All right, so when you take it, what happens? Where does it go first?
All right.
It goes into the stomach, and then what happens?
You know, it's interesting you asked, because there have been a lot of studies that what happens to turmeric or curcumin once it is taken up, and the answer to your question is it ends up everywhere. You name it. Even we may not see it, but it is there. And it happened that the curcumin is fluorescent. Fluorescent means it glows in the night time, which means you can see it very easily.
Wow.
You know, just by putting little dark, making it a little dark. You can do, the Harvard group just reported a PET scan, where they fed this curcumin to the animals, and they could see within a matter of minutes it was sitting in the brain. And it was binding to amyloid proteins in the brain and preventing aggregation of the amyloid protein, which are responsible for Alzheimer's, within a matter of minutes. And they could localize no matter where. So point of the matter is that curcumin ends up in all different organs. It has been shown very conclusively, not just by one group, but a number of groups. Okay? And it gets metabolized in the liver, as most of the other things are. And in the olden days, curcumin was used as a pH indicator. pH indicator means you can tell whether it is acidic or alkaline. So you put under alkaline conditions, it will turn red in color. Just like Indian women wear as mark on their forehead, you might have seen. You know?
Uh-huh.
So that red color is nothing but turmeric under alkaline conditions. So if you want to know whether your soil or whatever you have, whether it is acidic or alkaline, you put some turmeric, you immediately see change in color, and you can tell whether the acidic or alkaline. So
really?
Before the pH meter came along, and before any other method came along, this was the only way people would determine the pH.
Wow.
Understand? So it has been around for thousands of years, And people
right.
who were in the business, they knew it. And it is just a matter of who you are talking to and what time frame.
Yeah. Wow, that's really... It's so funny to me how many things were so advanced when we look back, you know, thousands of years or even hundreds of years, and then you're like, well, whatever happened to that? How did everything else just kind of die off in and be replaced by all of this other stuff that isn't necessarily as simple or as accurate even? So that's pretty amazing.
See, that's why you have to know that the cancer is on the increase, the obesity is on the increase, the diabetes is on the increase, the Alzheimer is on the increase. Every chronic
yep.
disease we talk about, it is on the increase. Why? Because we are moving away from the traditional lifestyle. That's it.
I believe that. Yep.
Okay. More you move away, bigger the price you pay. So more traditionally you remain, you know, better it is for you.
The cleaner you eat, right?
Yep.
The cleaner
Absolutely.
Or the closer
okay.
you get
right.
to what it was like before it
yeah.
was on your plate, the better.
Here I have to correct you there. And this is my own experience.
Okay.
And I think that it is well established. More cleaner you become, more allergic you become.
Oh.
Okay. And the reason for that being, you have to strengthen your immune system. It's like a guy on the street. You know, more he learns to fight, better he can handle himself. So more you strengthen your immune system, you know, more body can withstand. More you keep him insulated, lesser he can fight back. Does that make sense? So what it is turning out to be, that there never has been more allergy, more arthritis, more all these diseases, infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I mean, people are complaining about allergy problem, this problem, that problem. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and I can see even in my own family, you know, my wife comes from a, you know, very big city, you know, Mumbai, you know, and which is everything
yeah.
is very high-tech and everything is just like New York, you know. And
yeah.
so it is the biggest city in India. And I come from a small little town, you know, the smallest town probably you can find in India where, you know, we didn't have anything virtually, you know. And
mm-hmm.
we were just, you know, making our own fire, this, that. You know, she's having all kind of allergy problems where I don't even know how to spell allergy. You see what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah,
so,
it's really... So what you're saying is...
Right of the matter
is,
you have to be trained. You have to train the body to be able to withstand all of that. So more
mm-hmm.
you train your body, better it can handle adverse situations. Because what you are doing, you are basically making a weapons in the immune system, you know, that can defend you in case if anything comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And more protected you keep it, lesser it can handle. Okay? So that's, you know, and whatever I'm telling you is now well established.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting spin.
Yeah. So even arthritis.
It's an interesting track, yeah. Yeah, I'll be looking into that, let me tell you.
There's a more arthritis now than ever before. Okay.
Than ever before, yep.
You know, and again, why? Because people just sit around, do nothing. You know, if people were working, you know, they rather go to a gym or this or that rather than all the chores that need to be done at home. That they should be doing,
mm-hmm.
walking
yeah.
around and doing the chores, you know. So if you don't even go to the gym, you know, you have no exercise. You are not moving your body.
Well, now you're just talking smack about me. That's all.
No, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. That's part of this whole push now with paleo, and they include this paleo lifestyle is inclusive of movement and exercising each separate part of your body and moving things around. They particularly like to move weights and use weights in their workouts, I guess.
And there are so many things in the house and in your office and mm-hmm. anything that you should be doing, but instead you hire somebody to do it.
Yeah. Not around here. My husband likes to do that. He does a lot of stuff down in the basement, and he'll run up 3 flights of stairs to go and use the bathroom.
He's
real good about that.
Now you're talking my language. You're talking my language. That's what I'm talking. That is what I'm talking.
All right. So, but one of the things that I noticed in the list that you just mentioned, including arthritis and dementia, those are all what is now being known to be inflammatory conditions.
Pro-inflammatory.
Okay.
There is the word inflammation come from the word inflame, which means fire. Right.
Right?
You have a fire in your kitchen. You turn on the stove and you make your tea or coffee. And then you turn it off. Then you go to your bedroom or living room, you turn on the fire, warm up your living room or bedroom. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a fire too. Right?
Right.
Now, same fire, now you turn your stove off. Forget to turn your fire in the living room off and you just go out of town. What's going to happen? Your whole house may get on fire.
Mm.
And that is exactly what happens in our body. So inflammation is not bad. God does not make something for nothing. Inflammation is good as long as you keep it under control.
Under control, right. So how does curcumin do that?
And that is lifestyle. That's where lifestyle comes in. That firstly, you keep it inflammation under control by certain kind of lifestyle. You know, it's like a fuel to the fire. You know, Time magazine did the whole issue on inflammation. You know, where they showed the fire burning in the different parts of the body and leading to different diseases. So if we don't keep it under control, what is going to happen is a havoc, and that is exactly what is happening.
Right.
Okay? So if you are going to see, there are foods that turn on inflammation, and there are foods that turn off inflammation. Okay, and and if you are going to sit under sunshine, you know that is turning on inflammation. Radiation turning on inflammation. Stress turning on inflammation. You know. 30% of all cancers are due to tobacco. And country that I come from originally, which is India, there 50% of all cancers are due to tobacco. Because they not only chew tobacco, they not only smoke tobacco, they also chew tobacco.
Yeah.
50%. So you can imagine 50% of the cancers can be eliminated just by not getting rid of tobacco. And tobacco turns on inflammation. Tobacco turns on inflammation. And then 1/3 is tobacco, 1/3 is diet, and 1/3 is environment. That's it. You know, Eskimos never get cancer. Did you know that?
Say that again.
Eskimos never get cancer.
Eskimos?
Yes. Because they have such a lifestyle that balances it out. So 95% of all cancers are preventable just by change in lifestyle. 95%. So stress.
I'm writing this down, and so that's what the pauses are about. So 95% of all cancers are preventable due to lifestyle.
Stress. I mean, there never been in the history, I think, the life more stressful than now. Nobody has the time to sit down and talk to each other. you know, everybody go, go, go. Okay? And
right.
So stress is a very, very, very big factor. And that can turn on inflammation. Okay? And that can
mm-hmm.
turn on cancer. It has been shown. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have spelled out obesity is inflammation leading to
right.
cancer. You know, 20% of all cancers are due to obesity. Just imagine. So point of the matter is, even if we know all this, if we don't act upon it, nothing is going to happen. You know, you can
right.
come up with a lot of drugs. Pharmaceutical company right now is swimming in all the drugs, but none of them can cure cancer. None of
right.
them. But they're making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about, making money, or is it about, you know, about lifestyle, about preventing the disease before even it gets too far?
I'm with you on that one. I have two kids now with type 1 diabetes, and they both were adults when they were diagnosed. One was 23, one was 35, and there's so much money in the management of diabetes. I just can't see it ever coming around to a cure or finding out a reason why the pancreas just stopped working out of nowhere, you know. There's just
there's
too
no
much
reason.
Money in it, even in type 2. Sad.
You know, 95% of all diabetes are type 2, and only 5% are type 1.
Yep. And so these two kids, I don't know where they got it from, but as a fully grown grown-up, shaving every day kind of grown-up, they both, their pancreas just stopped working. And, I don't know.
The reason, so I think something has to be done. And again, inflammation
yep.
is responsible for insulin resistance. Did you know that?
Yep.
It is very well established. You know, metformin.
Yep.
You know metformin. Metformin
yep.
was discovered from a plant. And the name of the plant is goat's rue. And they found that goat which eats this plant does not get diabetes. Did you know that? And there is
say that one more time.
Doing a whole article, Serendipity in Drug Discovery. Serendipity. Which means you just sit there under the sun and you observe something. Hey, why is this? And that leads to, you know, something that you had not even planned.
Mm-hmm.
That is serendipity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of drug discovery occurs by serendipity. So
right.
metformin was discovered more than 100 years ago. And aspirin, now people are using aspirin even to prevent cancer. Aspirin was not discovered as anti-cancer.
Right.
You know,
there probably wasn't any cancer when they discovered aspirin.
So there are so many stories like that. So many.
Mm-hmm.
So they are to be learned from Mother Nature. That what
yes.
Mother Nature is all about. And turmeric or curcumin is very integral part of it. I have
mm-hmm.
yet to find an answer that curcumin cannot kill. I challenge you.
So there we have Dr. Agarwal talking about curcumin and challenging us to find a cancer that cannot be treated by curcumin. Stay tuned in the next couple of weeks for part two of this interview. I usually hold our guests pretty tightly to the timeline with 30 minutes, but Dr. Agarwal seemed to want to really drive home a couple of good important points. So that's what I let him do. So stay tuned. As I said, thank you for listening to CrossLink Radio, and don't forget to share the episodes.
You're listening to CrossLink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, Shirley at crosslinkradio.com.